I was ready for another song, so yeah, he's got to get me paying attention there. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. We hope you've had a good day. We had a good wedding this afternoon, and many of y'all are there and back, so you may be a little sleepy, so I'm going to do something. I'm just a little tired myself because of that, but I'm going to give you a little shorter one than normal. This one's a little shorter, but we're going to trade it in because the next one is longer. So just keep that in mind. The next one has 10 points, but that's okay. They're short ones. So tonight I want you, if you have your Bible, if you see, go ahead and start turning over to 2 Kings chapter 22. This year we've been talking every 3 months about four goals. We've talked about the goal to be one, the goal to serve, our third goal to participate, or to know God's Word and know God is our third goal, and our fourth goal is sharing the Word. And so when I think of our third goal that we're in right now, our third goal to know God's Word and know God, I think of this story. I think of this account told in 2 Kings chapter 22. Not a very familiar one. You may not spend a lot of time in 2 Kings, but there's some interesting things there, and I hope that tonight we leave looking at the law and looking at a love for the law that Josiah found and his reaction that he has to finding the book of the law. So start with me here in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. I got an 8-year old. Can't imagine Laura as king, but that's a lot of fun. It says, Josiah is 8. He's king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. There's a lot of names in here. I'm going to mispronounce some of them, I'm sure, tonight. But it says his mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozek. And he did what was right. I'm glad Bobby's not here tonight. That makes me feel better. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. An 8-year-old. Okay? He followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So we have this line of kings, and you start looking at through the book of Kings. This is a rare thing to find a king described as doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, the quite opposite is often described of our kings. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. To find an 8-year-old described as doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, following completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. This is amazing to me that his focus at this age was to please God. You have this account in 2 Kings, and you have a parallel account with a few more details in the book of Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, just going to mention a few details out of Chronicles. Stay in the text of 2 Kings. But he says in verse 3 of that chapter about this same account, it says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David. In the 8th year of his reign. Clearly giving us this detail that he is 8 years old. This is amazing when you consider Josiah's family background. His grandfather Manasseh started out as this incredibly evil king. And until God hands him over, his grandfather, over to the Assyrians, and then it says that he humbles himself. He cries out to God, and God heard him and was moved and saves Manasseh. He dies, and his son Amon, at the age of 22, he takes over as king. And it says about Amon that he is an evil king who only reigns for 2 years. Not only is he evil, he is killed by the people that he is around. He doesn't, says not only was he evil, he didn't humble himself, the account says. He's killed by his servants. And then these people around him make his 8-year-old son king. Think of the background that he has as an 8-year-old. Not a lot of father and grandfather example on what to do and how to serve God. So he's seeking this at the age of 8. Without a father around, he's seeking the God of David. It's a reminder to you and to us, it should be, that even if those around you and those before you are not seeking the Lord, that you still have that responsibility. Even at his young age, here is him doing some very big things for God. He's going to go on and talk about the things that he's doing, completely following the ways of his father before him. And he's doing some very big things for God at the age of 8. And I hope that we expect, that we encourage, and that we equip young people to participate in the work of the kingdom. I would argue they have been, and they have sometimes even a greater impact on people because they don't expect that from an 8-year-old or a young person. And the way that they serve God is often very contrast to the people around them. So even if you are surrounded by those who do not, we still have the responsibility to do it. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, he continues in verse 3. And he gives us this account about his time as a 12-year-old. We don't have this in Kings, but it says in 2 Chronicles 34, 3. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved and the metal images. They chopped down the altars of the Baal in his presence and cut down the incense altars that stood above them. He broke in pieces the Asherim and the carved and metal images. He made dust of them. He scattered it over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. And he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as the Naphtali and their ruins all around, he broke down the altars. He beat the Asherim and the images into powder, cut down the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, and then he returned to Jerusalem. Look at what Josiah had come to realize. Here he is at 12 years old. If he was going to seek and follow God, then all the other things that were not of God had to go. All the things around him that were being worshipped that were not of God, he destroyed. He turned to dust these things. The powder, it says. It wasn't just that he said, well, I'm not going to worship it, and it's okay to stay in our kingdom. He says, I'm going to make it a point to travel around and cut down, burn, destroy, get rid of, turn it to dust. There is no opportunity for you to bring this up again, to be tempted by, to say, I'm going to continue to worship and serve other things. He says, at 12, he understood that God is a jealous God. He understood that as the leader of his people, if they're going to survive, if they're going to stay faithful to God, as many, many kings did not do before him, if they wanted to please God, then he says they better have no trace of other gods. Josiah wants them to see the importance that God had in his life and in his kingdom. He's been seeking it since 8, and now he is participating in making that well known at 12. What lengths have you gone to, is my question, in your life to remove things that stand opposed to God? Things that God would not be happy that you had around. Maybe it's movies that you have lying around, or music with bad language or terrible messages, or books that are laced with ungodly content. I don't know what it is. You can fill in the blank. Maybe it's language that comes out of your mouth. Maybe it's jokes we laugh at. Maybe it's just things that we don't say anything about or we tolerate. And we keep things like this around us, in our house, in our phones, in our lives, and we accept them as okay, and that God is okay, and they're a normal part of our society, and they have no bearing on our relationship with God. But if we went to the effort that Josiah did, I don't mean you are burning bones of people or physically destroying property that's not yours. I mean removing things that are yours, things you have control over, that stand opposed to God. For us, we got an easier time than he did. He had to physically burn and remove things and chop to dust. For us, sometimes that's hitting delete. changing the channel, turning something off, and people would know where you stood. God would know. If God is that important, what lengths would you go to show Him He is? If a 12-year-old had enough willpower, shouldn't we? 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 3 says, in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sends the secretary, Shaplin's son, I can't see, can't read these and cry at the same time. He sends him to the temple of the Lord, and he says, verse 4, go up to Hilkiah the high priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, the masons. Have them purchase timber and dress stones to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it says, the kings before him, let the temple go to ruin. At 18 years old, he finds the value of repairing the temple of the Lord. And here's an 18-year-old, by the way, who trusts people. Think about that for a second. He says, you don't have to turn in receipts. I trust you. An 18-year-old. He's asking the question, though, in what ways can I continue to honor God? He wasn't just seeking Him. He wasn't just removing things that were in the way or around them that were not of God. He said, in what ways can I continue to honor God? I'm going to show respect to the temple of the Lord. I'm going to repair it. I'm going to bring it back to what God designed it to be and told us to make it. We're going to pay for it. We're going to make it the way it should be. And do we ask that question? In what ways can we continue to honor God? Our temple today is us. We are spiritually taking care of the house where God's Spirit resides. Are we taking care of the physical place we meet in? In what ways can we honor God? Maybe it is where and how you spend your money. Maybe it is how you give your time or what you give it to. Or how you invest your talents. Are you making this question and this pursuit a part of your life? Are you asking the question, in what ways can I continue to honor God? 2 Kings chapter 8, Hilkiah the high priest says to Shaphan the secretary, I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king, reported to him, your officials paid out the money that was at the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. And then he informs the king. Oh, by the way, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. And Shaphan read it in front of the presence of the king. This is amazing. They've taken now the time to repair the temple, and they find something that was missing. They call it the book of the law. There's some debate whether exactly what was found, exactly what they're holding, but most likely it contains early parts of Deuteronomy, if not all of the law of Moses. And they had not just let the temple go to ruin, they had neglected and lost the book of the law. They didn't know where it was. They weren't reading it as they were commanded to do. They weren't following it because they weren't reading it. Do you know what honors God? That we never neglect and forget His words. In fact, that's what we read if they're holding the book of Deuteronomy at this point. That's what Moses is telling them. Keep these words ever before you so you will not forget. Let them be a reminder to you of who God is, how differently He wants you to live your life. Don't forget that. But when you lose it, when you never read it, you don't live that. In verse 11, it says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. The response of this 18-year-old king. The tearing of one's clothes back then was a show of shock or grief or mourning, depending on the circumstance. But it was this sign of great sorrow. And Josiah knew they're not following the book of the law. Remember, the last 10 years of his young life, here's Josiah trying to do what is right in the eyes of God. That's where he had been living his life since the age of 8, before he was even aware of the law of God, where God explains in the law what he desires, and he and the nation he had led a long way away from the law. Without reading the law, though, he knows it was right to remove idol worship from their land. Without reading the law, he knew it's right to care about and repair the temple of God. But when he heard it, he knew God wanted so much more from them. I don't know if you remember your reaction the first time you heard the word of God. And it really sunk in. I don't know if you remember the people in Acts chapter 2, and they heard the gospel for the first time. And their reaction in Peter, it says in Acts, they're cut to the heart. We have become so used to hearing the word of God that we do not even react anymore. We're filled with knowledge, but we have no response. And I hope that we make sure that the Word of God still moves us every single time we hear it. There is no stronger medicine that God has given us than Scripture. Verse 12, it says, he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest and others in his presence. And he says in verse 13, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all of Judah, about what's written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that was written concerning us. Josiah is not just worried about not having followed the law. He never knew about it. He is worried about what God thinks about him not following the law. And that is his first response. What is God going to do to us? Because if they're reading Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is filled with this blessing and curses. And the law comes with warnings and directions. And they've never heard it. They've never heard any of it. And they're breaking all of it. And he's sincerely worried he's offended God. His nation has offended God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. Are you? What if you find something you've been doing or not doing that God has asked you to do or not do? Do you show you're sorry about it? Do you change? Do you go to God to make sure he knows you're sorry about it and ask for his help to change? This changed everything for Josiah. It wasn't just about we're going to seek God. We're going to ask for his opinion when we need to. We're going to tear down things that we know are not worshiping God. It is deeper than that. He said, I want to know what this book says. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. It says, Hilkiah the priest, Akim, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asherah went to speak to the prophet Hodah, who was the wife of Shalom, son of Tavah, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. I don't know what that means. That's interesting. She lives in Jerusalem in the new quarter. And she says to them, the prophet, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have been made, my anger will burn against them. And against this place, it will not be quenched. Until the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. He says to them, this is the word of God. It doesn't change because you didn't read it. What I have told you would happen is going to happen. I am a God who keeps my word. There are still blessings and curses. Because your heart, verse 19, was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord. When you heard what I've spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse. That is, their names would be used in cursing, or others would see that they're cursed, and they would be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. And therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. And so they took her answer back to the king. Following chapter is Josiah going on to reform Israel. He brings back the Passover, remembering a God who saves, but later is killed in battle. He's buried in peace before God, as she said. And then God hands Judah over to the Babylonian captivity less than 15 years later. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, it says, before him there was no king like Josiah, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. I told you it was short. What's God's judgment for those who hear without reaction, without action? What do you think God sees when he watches his body here and not move? He gave them in the Old Testament the Shema, that his words were not just commandments, that they were the understanding that God spoke and you not just heard, you obeyed. The way that we react to God's word says something about the relationship we have with God. We respond differently to telemarketers than we do to family. We read their text. We answer that phone call. And they have great meaning to us. So much so that we respond. For us today, the Word of God is not missing. The book of the law is sitting in your lap. But perhaps what is missing today is our response to the Word. Tonight, I hope that you look at Josiah's story and you hear what he heard and you have a reaction to God and his word. That you are moved to find out, what does God want from me? What am I missing from his word? Have I read it? Is it bringing me to change? We can help you in any way tonight if you need to respond. The message is yours as we stand.